Chapter 16. Two unsuccessful attempts to exterminate Christianity. The way in which the Church of God has to travel here upon earth is a way of conflict and trouble, a way of blood and tears, a way of revilement and contempt. If the Lord, the Almighty Himself, had not promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against His church, then God's church would have been blown away from the face of the earth like chaff. Then she would have been ruined long ago. On the one hand, terrible persecutions harassed the Christian church. On the other side, the church had to wage a severe conflict against the various errors which tried to destroy the church from within and to lead it away from the pure faith. In the last chapters, we have related something about those errors. Of course, by far, not all the errors have been discussed, for then I would never get a done. We have discussed only a few of the principal ones. But neither did the persecutions as yet cease. After the death of Emperor Severus, the persecutions stopped for a while. As I told you in chapter 12, with the persecution which burst loose everywhere during the reign of Severus, both women Perpetua and Felicitas of Carthage were killed. But happily, after his death, the Church of God obtained some rest. Certain emperors came to the throne who helped and supported the Christians. Whereas the Christians were first hated and treated with contempt, that changed now. They attained to honor and respect. Many Christians came into the government. Christianity penetrated even into the imperial palace. Numerous Christians were found among the courtiers and officials at the imperial court. Thousands of Christian soldiers were in the Roman legions. Yea, even officers and commanders belonged to Christianity. It is readily understood that in times of rest and prosperity, Christianity everywhere extended itself enormously. Thousands left paganism and the service of the gods and joined themselves to Christianity. Many heathen temples, where before it could be so busy, were now entirely deserted. Almost everywhere the Christian churches were too small. Really, it went fine. It went excellent. Finally, the time seemed to dawn that Christianity would triumph over heathenism. Splendid. Yea, everything seemed so nice. It seemed to go so good, but... You are also a Christian. Yes, yes, I am sure. You are a Christian, for I recognize you. No, no, you are mistaken, sounds a nervous, trembling voice. I have satisfied him with my duty by sacrificing. Look, here is my proof. Behold, two men stand facing each other. One with sparkling eyes stands there threateningly. The other stands there nervously, with a flushed face, while with trembling fingers he hastily unfolds a letter which he hands over. With some aversion, the first man takes the letter and suspiciously reads the contents of that letter. He looks closely and searchingly at the signature below it. He turns the paper over and over, looks at it from all sides, and finally returns the letter. He turns around, mumbles several angry words, and goes away. The other man has nervously followed all his movements. With trembling fingers, he again receives the letter, puts it away carefully, and with a sigh of relief continues on his way. Ah, and that turned out good. But what does all that mean? Why is that one man so angry and look so searchingly at the other? Why is that other man so nervous and so timid? What kind of a letter does he have? No, you do not understand everything of that, isn't that so? That is not so bad. Just listen carefully. I shall try to make it clear. Suddenly, unexpectedly, a new persecution against the Christians had burst loose. The Christians who had come to honor and respect, who occupied high positions and offices in the government, who by the thousands served in the Roman army, were suddenly cast down in the most profound contempt and shame. A new emperor had ascended the throne. His name was Decius. This monarch had hardly come to power, or immediately he issued strict laws against the Christians. No, no, that ancient worship of the gods may not perish. Christianity was not allowed to conquer and become dominant. On the contrary, the service of the gods had to be restored again in all its glory and its old luster. All inhabitants of the Roman Empire, all subjects of Decius, were obliged, upon penalty of death, to sacrifice to the gods. All, without exception, were compelled to also render divine honor to the emperor. These new laws produced great fright and alarm among the Christians. They had not expected that. They had not reckoned on that. This persecution was not local. Oh no, the persecution raged throughout the entire Roman Empire. Nowhere were they safe. But do you know what was most sad? Thousands of Christians renounced their faith. At the beginning of this chapter I have written, it went fine, it went excellent. But now it was evident that it did not go so well. It is true, during the time of rest and peace, Christianity had spread itself enormously. But now it was evident that many had joined themselves to Christianity to obtain money and prosperity, to be honored. There were many Christians in name only. Now the persecution burst loose, and now there was no more honor and advantage to be obtained. On the contrary, only shame and contempt, scorn and derision was to be had. And see them run by the hundreds to the heathen idol temples. They openly swear off Christianity and sacrifice to the gods. But there were also those who did not dare to swear off Christianity openly and to sacrifice to the gods anew. No, that was too bad. To offer solemnly to the gods was too awful for them. But to burn a little incense? Ah, that would not be so bad, would it? Come, come, they really did not mean it, but well, they did it of necessity. They were compelled to do it, were they not? If they only burned some incense, then it was all right. We must not be so strict. There were things much worse, and they walked over to burn a little incense before the bust of the emperor, and with that they had saved their life. Such people were called incense burners. But those people also denied their profession. They also renounced Christianity. The Lord Jesus has said, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed." Then there was still a third group of people. Sacrificing? Not if they knew it. They would not do that. How about burning incense then? No, neither would they do that. They were not that bad. Do you know what these people did? They went to the governor, to the authorities, and for a large sum of money, they purchased a letter. In that letter was written that they had fulfilled their duty by sacrificing. That was really not true, because they had not sacrificed at all. They only received a certificate that they had done it. Day by day, those people walked about with a lie, a big lie. For a large sum of money, one or another dishonest governor would sign such a letter, and the thing was set to rights. If they were stopped and called to give an account, then they simply showed that signed letter, and they were no longer troubled. The man with whom I commenced this part was also the bearer of such a letter. But these people also renounced Christianity. They were guilty in the holy sight of the Lord. Finally, there was yet a fourth group of people. The imperial command was, all Christian books and writings must be turned in and burned. Now there were also many so-called Christians who zealously came carrying those Christian books. They themselves cast those books into the flames. Naturally, for then all would think that they had bid farewell to Christianity. Then they would not be suspected. In reality, these people were also forsakers of their profession. With their actions, they showed that they shamed themselves to stand up for Christ and His church. They forgot that the Lord is the God of truth, who hates lying and deceit in whatever form it may be. Oh, it appeared very sad in those days. Thousands upon thousands abandoned their faith. One became an offerer. A second became a burner of incense, a third became a bearer of a certificate, and a fourth one turned in all the Christian books, and they themselves burned them. Perhaps some may think, did then everyone renounce their faith? Were they all named Christians? No. Happily, not everyone abandoned their faith. The true Christians, the upright Christians, stood firm. They did not deny their Savior. They could not deny their Savior. But they were put to death. The blood of martyrs flowed in streams. Oh, Decius raged against them with terrible cruelty. No one was spared. No one was shown any mercy. Aged ones, men, women, boys, and girls, yea, even children were put to death in the most cruel manner. Little children were scourged to death. Now the difference became evident, who really did serve the Lord and who did not serve God. The hypocrites fell away. God's people stood firm. Oh no. They were no better than the others, but they were kept in the power of God unto salvation. God Himself kept them standing. God Himself filled them with such a strong faith that although death stared them in the face, they stood unwavering in the heat of the oppression. However terrible this persecution was, it served as a means in God's hand to purify the church of the Lord. The same as with a bad storm, when the ground is strewn with dead branches, which through the violence of the hurricane break off, so the storm of persecution caused all named Christians to renounce their faith. But the living branches did not break off. The true people of God remained standing and sealed their profession with their blood. Jubilantly they entered into eternal glory. This terrible persecution lasted a year. Then, suddenly, Decius was murdered while he was fighting against the surrounding nations. The Romans had war with the Goths, and in that war, Decius was murdered. With the defeat of Decius, the Church of God breathed more freely. The attack had been terrible, but the object of Decius had failed. Christianity had to be rooted out, but that did not happen. But God's church was cleansed. That which the devil meant for evil, God meant it for good. However, the rest which the Christians obtained was of short duration, for only a few years later, a new persecution broke loose. That persecution took place during the reign of Emperor Valerian. At first, this emperor was not unfriendly toward the Christians, but alas, he also changed when he saw that heathenism was being ruined. Some years later, he issued laws against the Christians. This new persecution was especially aimed at the pastors and teachers. Everywhere, just the pillars of Christianity were made prisoners and put to death. Bloody persecutions raged throughout the entire empire. Valerian did not demand that the Christians should deny their profession. He did not demand that they should curse their Christ. They were allowed to remain Christians. They were permitted to continue to visit their churches. But at the same time, they had to take part in bringing sacrifices to the gods and to the emperor. The Christians refused to do that because they could not serve two masters. They could not serve the idols and at the same time be a Christian. That was impossible to them. But by so doing, the rage against them became so much the greater. Now the emperor was so good that they could remain Christians. They only had to take part in the heathen sacrifices. What difference did that make? Was that then so bad? Don't you see? Those Christians were impossible people. Nothing can be done with those Christians. But when Valerian notices that, then he wants to force the Christians to it. Martyrs fell everywhere, especially the bishops and the overseers of the Christian churches. They were put to death in the most cruel manner. The bishop of the church at Rome was put to death. Several deacons of that church were also put to death. The governor of the emperor at Rome heard that the Christian church at Rome was very rich. Ah, he can make good use of that money. He sent a message to Laurentius. He was one of the remaining deacons in that church. He wants to speak with Laurentius and for that reason sends for him. Laurentius goes to the governor and asks, "You have sent for me. What do you desire of me?" The governor looks haughtily at him and answers, "You must give me the treasures of the church." Laurentius thinks deeply for a moment. Then he says, "Grant me 3 days' delay, then I shall show you the treasures." The governor grins and he says, "Very well, your request is granted. I shall give you 3 days' delay." He thinks that he has gained his objective. 3 days later, Laurentius appears before the governor a second time, but this time he does not come alone. During those 3 days, he called the poor of the church together, and he brings them to the governor. The brave deacon says, while he points to the poor, "Look, These are the treasures in our church. The governor becomes white with rage. He thinks that Laurentius is mocking him. Trembling with rage, he commands to put Laurentius to death. This is done in a most cruel manner. He has a gridiron made. Laurentius is bound fast upon it. They light a fire under that gridiron, and in this manner Laurentius is slowly burned to death. But the Lord shows that he is stronger than the fire, because the Almighty removes the terrible pain. Here, God held back the power of the fire. Just listen. When Laurentius has been lying for some time on that gridiron, he tells the governor, who also stands there, "Turn me around and put me on the other side, for this side is roasted sufficiently." Soon the faithful deacon is in eternal glory. This is one instance of thousands. This persecution did not last long. For Valerian dies too. For when, with his army, he fought against the Persians captured him, and a short time later the cruel emperor died. Again, Christianity was not destroyed. On the contrary, the Church of the Lord came out victoriously. It is true, thousands were killed, but they were not exterminated. Their heavenly King watched over them. Just through this terrible persecution, God's church was purified.